Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Happy, fizzy days are here again in Silicon Valley. Companies like Facebook, Grokket, Google, Zynga need top-flight young engineers and more right now. They're throwing money, massages, yoga lessons, and stock options at new hires, poaching from competitors, snatching talent right out of school, signing them up on the spot. Is this the dawn of a new American economy, a harbinger of jobs all over, or just another tech bubble? This hour On Point, the jobs boom in Silicon Valley now and what it says to the rest of the country. You can join the conversation. Have you seen it firsthand, the Silicon Valley frenzy right now? Are you watching, hearing, seeing its echo in Seattle, Austin, New York? What's it really mean for the rest of the country? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me first today from Sacramento, California, is Mark Lifshear. He's business reporter for the Los Angeles Times. Mark, thanks very much for being with us.
Hi.
So what's going on with Silicon Valley? What's pushing all this hiring?
Well, what's happening is California was hard hit, the second worst unemployment in the country. It's really suffered in the recession. And now there's a lot of pent-up demand, and jobs are starting to be created in IT, in information technology. And it's all the sexy Googles and Facebooks and all the other websites, but it's also meat and potatoes IT, where companies that haven't been spending are now spending on things like new computers, new phone systems, new networks.
You've still got tremendous unemployment in California, I think 12+% in some of the most hard-hit areas in the country there. But in Silicon Valley itself, what sort of strand of IT is so hot right now? Is it really social networking that's driving this hiring, Mark?
That's the sexiest part of it, and those are the people who are betting on the future. They've got good products that people want. They're very hot. They're very sexy. And after getting by with fewer people, they now need more. And so they're competing very fiercely to bring in people. In February, there were 4,500 jobs created in Silicon Valley alone. They already had about 2 percentage points lower unemployment than California, just 12.2. There are listings on an internet site that, of course, provides high-tech jobs called
Dice.com. Is that
Dice.com? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have about 5,000 listings, and they've even gone down to L.A. A number of these outfits, like My Likes, the social media, the CEO was having a hard time competing with the big boys in Silicon Valley. So she went down to L.A. and opened an office down there and is finding it easier to compete. Also, Google has raised pay 10% across the board at the beginning of the year. They're moving to a new campus, which will hold 3,600 people, and they only have about 2,000 right now. They announced would be...
That's Google or Facebook? Sorry, moving to the new campus. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, that's Facebook. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
And there's just high-tech jobs all over. Young people who are unemployed, like Jan Persky, a fellow that we interviewed, he was basically unemployed or underemployed for about 2 years, and he got hired by Causes, which is a startup in San Francisco that helps people donate money to charity. And he says that every engineer is getting three offers on the table, and then there's all kinds of benefits, shuttle buses, free food, massages, reflexology, free haircuts, bonuses, stock options. It's pretty exciting, but you have to look that it's also happening at kind of meat and potato companies. They tried for years to cut corners, increase productivity of the people that they had. And then after a while, they realized that this demand is real and that they have to start spending money on new phones, new computers, new networks, everything, just to keep up with things. So it is a big improvement, and it's a good news for California, but the state is still just behind Nevada in the worst unemployment. And we had almost 100,000 jobs created in February, which is about half that were created in the country. But we lost 1.2 million jobs since July of 07. So we still have a long ways to go.
So yoga lessons and free meals and free massages, stock options, big right out of college, 90,000 plus offerings for software engineers right in Silicon Valley, but even in California, a long way to go. And we're scratching our head trying to think what this means, might mean, for the rest of the country. Mark Lifshear, stand by there in California, if you would, with the LA Times. Doug Henton joins us from San Mateo, California. He's chairman and CEO of Collaborative Economics Incorporated. His firm produces studies on the economy of Silicon Valley, also tracks the state economy. Doug Henton, thank you very much for being with us.
Good to be here.
You know, as Mark lays out the kind of perks that are being pushed at prospective hires in Silicon Valley right now, it's very easy for us, for the 1990s and the internet boom to come to mind. Is this that boom all over again, Doug? Is this something more lasting, more solid? How big a deal is the hiring frenzy in Silicon Valley right now?
Well, I think Mark's right. I mean, we're seeing a pickup. It has picked up in the last couple of actually, the last year, in the two or three areas that he mentioned, particularly in information technology, social networking. One of the things that's happening is it's not just happening in Santa Clara County, which is the core of Silicon Valley. It's happening all up and down the peninsula, the San Mateo County, and into San Francisco. I think that's a new here. A lot of these social networking companies that are getting a lot of attention are actually in San Francisco. And that's interesting, too. So when we look at these numbers, it's not just the growth of jobs in information technology and software in the core of Silicon Valley, but it's also in San Francisco, where there's been a significant growth there as well. So I think that's an important development. Yeah, I think that there's an increased demand in these areas. We're not back to where we were, and I don't think it's the same thing as the 2000. That was an unusual period of time when you have to realize that the venture community put in $25 billion worth of investments in dot-coms. We are not there. This is not a bubble. What this is as I think Mark said, is a lot of pent-up demand for these types of products and services. I think we have an advantage in these areas, and they're growing. And I want to make another point that Mark made. It's not just in these brand-new companies. We're seeing existing companies. There's a significant growth in software. And what, you know, if you look at it in terms of how it's defined, it's called computer system design. It's gone up completely, in fact, at the same rate. And so these are software companies that have been here for some time. Oracle would be an example of that, and even Microsoft, that they're based here. They're all growing, and it's important to understand that it's a broad-based growth. Now, why is this happening? It's because these companies are not only seeing that it's time, having done a lot of productivity, they've done more with less, they've had productivity gains, I think they're seeing the need to grow because they're serving export markets. They're selling outside of the state and even internationally. So we see a gain. But I want one point that you brought up. Why do we still have high unemployment in the midst of this growth? It's because we were hit by the national recession. Construction jobs. We lost a lot of construction jobs because of the housing collapse. That's the reason why we have unemployment. It has very little to do with these technology jobs. So to say that there's a high unemployment rate in California,
and there is
really not related to these technology jobs. And we're trying to work down on that because of our housing problems. We sit like every other state in the union. We lost jobs in construction and in finance, and we're still working our way out of that.
Doug, can you help us take us into the sort of heart of this hiring boom, hiring frenzy? What are the job skills, the type of prospective employee that is most ardently sought after right now in Silicon Valley? What are people really competing hardest for, Doug?
Well, I think it is the people that have the skills in software. It's a specialized set of skills. It's creative. You know, people think of software designers in terms of the sort of hardware work, but what they're looking for are people that have creative skills and know how to design thinking skills. And if you look at companies that have been extremely successful, not just the startup companies, but take an Apple, which is growing and expanding, the things that they're doing are very new. They're coming up with new designs, new products, new services, and they need people who can do that type of thinking. And it's not just technical skills. It's what we sometimes call the soft skills, which are the ability to think outside the box and design. Some of this is actually media. where people have the design to do graphic media and the ability to come up with new. In fact, we have a very strong gaming industry here, and what we mean by that is electronic games, where people go and learn digital arts, and they learn how to design. So when you look at these software activities in these websites, it's not just the people who write code, it's the people who actually come up with the creative designs that result in marketing.
And does so this, Doug, does this hitch up to the main economy, the mainstream economy, and pull it forward or
sure,
not?
I mean,
I'm
not?
Well, I don't know. I'm looking at a new Business Week survey here of cities across the country where they say, oh, this is Forbes, I should say, things are getting worse, and four of the top five are in California, Riverside, Bernardino, Stockton, Bakersfield, LA.
Of course. Everything you said is true because they were based on a construction economy. When you look at the Inland Empire, the reason why it grew in the last 10 years is because it's all around housing. If you look at most of the Central Valley communities that are in trouble, they've overbuilt in housing. We just went through the largest recession since the Great Depression. It was all driven by the financial collapse on Wall Street. We are affected by that. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about here. These industries are driven by demand outside of our region. People are asking for technology services. And what's interesting about these companies is that they sell their services not only to consumers in terms of social networking, but think about companies like Oracle, which are growing very fast because they sell software to the rest of the country, if not the world. Same thing with a number of our major companies here, Cisco and Apple. So I think you have to realize there's almost two type economies here. Of the growth of the technology economy is coming back, but we're stuck with an old economy which overbuilt in the construction industry.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about the hiring frenzy underway right now in Silicon Valley in California and what it says and doesn't say for the rest of the country, the rest of California, for that matter. Mark Lipshear is with us from the Los Angeles Times, business reporter there, who's been following all the perks that are being pushed at Target, would-be employees for social networking companies, gaming companies, high-tech companies, software companies, all kinds. He joins us from Sacramento. Doug Henton is with us from San Mateo, California. He's chairman and CEO at Collaborative Economics Incorporated. They follow that Silicon Valley and California economy. Mark and Doug in California, please stand by. Joining us right now from Westchester, Pennsylvania, is Sophia Koropetsky. She's managing director for Moody's Analytics, covers national labor markets. Sophia, thank you very much for being with us.
Hello.
So here come these stories barreling out of Silicon Valley. We feel like we've heard it before. You know, very hot, very excited, all kinds of competition for the hot talent to make these new, young, very often companies work. What does this mean and what does it not mean for the rest of California, for the rest of the country, Sophia?
Well, as Doug said, a lot of the demand for the products that are being dreamt up in Silicon Valley mm-hmm. are being purchased by companies in other parts of the country. And what that means is those companies which have become very profitable because they have cut costs to the bone during the past few years, are now seeking to expand. They're now investing more. So they are investing in various new technologies, but they're also investing in more traditional capital goods. And that is driving sort of overall growth in manufacturing and various support services such as transportation, distribution throughout the country. So we're seeing stronger demand for both tech goods and other kind of goods domestically and also from abroad, particularly from growing economies in Asia and Latin America.
So, but when people look at this, I mean, we've still got big parts of the country where the economy seems barely off its back. Mm-hmm. Can they look at Silicon Valley as a harbinger of better things to come, or is this a specialized pod, you know, that can have a huge white-hot frenzy of free haircuts and free meals and stock options and all the rest, and not ultimately translate into real national-scale job growth, Sophia?
I agree that Silicon Valley is a special case, but it's a very cyclical economy. So it moves along with the rest of the country, but it tends to do much better during good times and much worse during bad times. So I know I don't think that it means that GM workers necessarily are going to be getting free massages. But there is improvements throughout the country, but nothing like what is going on in Silicon Valley. And particularly the reason for that is that companies in Silicon Valley, they need people with very specialized skills, and they're willing to pay those people and provide various perks to get them. And they suck in people with those skills from throughout the country, hot new computer science graduates. Having said that, I am not, maybe Doug will have a different thought, but I am not convinced that these companies are necessarily eager to hire computer scientists that may have been out of work for the past 2 years from other parts of the country, because they may be concerned that their skills have eroded. They may be looking at the hot new stars and new graduates.
Let me get a call here from Omaha, Nebraska. Dean. Hi, Dean. You're on the air.
Hello, Tom.
Hi. What do you think?
Well, I'm skeptical. I used to be senior classical music editor at a place called AllMusic.com. They basically make iPod run. They also made, like, Real Player run. If you bought a CD within the past 8 years from pretty much anybody, the structure that made that happen was a company I worked for.
Okay.
And I just saw a lot of companies like ours that were underutilized. A lot of money went by the wayside. And yet I had friends that were getting between $4 and $6 million for online stationery companies that had no profit model whatsoever.
How long ago was this, Dean? Are you talking 90s here or just before the bust of 08?
I'm talking probably, I want to say like 2000, 2002, actually. So late 90s, we were in Ann Arbor, and there was money around there because you had the current governor of Michigan was there with an investment bank, and money was just, it was amazing how much money actually was dropping at that time as well. And what ends up happening in these boom times, and even I saw it in 2008 as well, people throw good money after bad, and it just seems like, you know, the basic business principles, you know, in these times of boom just go away.
So it sounds like you've left AllMusic.com, and where did you head with your career, Dean?
I'm currently in residency, as is my wife, who is also working for a company that was selling commodities online for, like, the power companies and things like that.
And you're both med school track now?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yep.
Wow.
Went back and just decided to kind of bite the bullet at that point. I tried consulting for a while, and again, I had a very highly specialized skill set that probably would be wanted now, but at the time, I could not make headway whatsoever.
Rode the boom, now back to healthcare, taking care of human beings, human bodies. Dean, thanks for calling. Doug Hinton, what about it? How do you see this current boom as like and unlike what we saw before? Is it more lasting? I mean, we saw Warren Buffett talking just in the last few days, talking about social networking companies, saying most of them will be overpriced. Some will be huge winners, which will make up for the rest. But what do you see happening, Doug?
Well, I think an important point, let's compare the current situation to 2000. I think they're different. You have to realize that in Silicon Valley, between 1995 and 2000, we created 200,000 jobs. 200,000 jobs. And in the top of the boom, we had a venture capital investment of $25 billion. Okay, these are big numbers. And then we lost those jobs. That we had the dot-com bust. It's true. I mean, we had a lot of companies that did not have good business plans. Those were companies that were not ready. And so we lost about 200,000 jobs. That's the boom and bust that was mentioned before. This particular situation doesn't even compare to that. We're not talking about growing 200,000 jobs, and we're not talking about $25 billion of venture capital. The other interesting thing is the market, the stock market, is very different now. Last year, we had one IPO, initial public offering.
Yep.
It's a very different market. So all this frenzy that you're talking about here may be a little bit overfraught, because it's not a question of, you know, giving away massages and all that. These are serious companies creating serious products, bringing them to market. And they have real investors, and they have angel investors, as well as venture investors, and they're trying to move forward. If you go to a Google, if you go to a company like Facebook, if you go to the companies that are growing today, they are, in fact, growing on a basis of what appears to be a very serious market. They're making money. And so I think it's not fair to compare them to that frenzy period. So some of your language here makes it sound like this is what happened in that period. It's totally different. If you look at the numbers, totally different. We're talking here about a fairly small increase. We're talking about not 200,000 jobs. You're talking about 4,000 to 5,000 jobs. And so it's just, you have to put this in perspective. And from that standpoint, I don't think they're comparable. I think what's happening now...
When you say 200,000 jobs, are you over what period do you mean, Doug?
Excuse well, last year we created 4,000 jobs in the area, say, of information technology. Actually, overall, for Silicon Valley, it was about 17,000 jobs total. I mean, we're not in the same ballgame. And another thing is, I think the venture community is much more aware now about how to make their investments. They're not throwing dollars. If you look at the amount of money that the venture community invested last year, it's very, in fact, it actually went down a little bit 2 years ago. It's not anywhere near that. So I think it's a different environment, and I think some of the language that you're using here about, you know, massages and all that, it's just not what's happening.
Well, well you know, Doug, that's not just language. Those are facts out of Silicon Valley. Mark Lifshitz with the...
You read a newspaper article.
Mark Lifshitz, yeah. Mark, are you telling us, are you seeing us a fairy tale here, Mark? I mean, I'm reading from your stories.
No.
Excuse me, Doug. I'm talking with our reporter. Excuse me, Mark.
No, they have all these bennies. Yes, that's a fact. And it is pretty interesting. But I think most of these things like free meals and even the massages is because they get these people and they want them to stay on the campus for 14, 15 hours a day so they can work the heck out of them. So if they go get a free massage for 45 minutes, they'll come back and maybe be more creative and work harder. Those are kind of typical Silicon Valley things that the whole idea is that have your people not go out to pick up their dry cleaning, not to go out to get a massage, not go out to get lunch, and just stay and work as much as possible.
But you're also talking about the competition for new hires and the kind of strategies that are being deployed to get them into, you know, my door and not the next company down the street. I mean, there seems to be not just for 14-hour days, but a real competition at the hiring moment as well, Mark.
Right. Well, I mean, it's the market, and there is a pent-up demand. There wasn't very much for a long time, and now there is. And so people are competing for these people, and it's become more of a seller's market. But in California, the turnaround that we saw most evidence last month, and we're coming from a deep hole, was across the board of the 11 categories that the state tracks of kinds of employment. All 10 went up, and only government, where we have a big government problem here, went down. And the biggest growth was business and professional services, which includes high tech, but it also includes accountants and managers and all kinds of relatively high-paying jobs that those people then go out and spend money on Facebook or Google or all kinds of products.
Doug Henton, let me put to you, I'm reading here from Paul Sappho writing today, and he's talking about what happened last time in the bubble, the boom, and what's happening now. Paul Sappho, no stranger to your neck of the woods and business there, says the biggest difference lies in who gets to play this time around. He writes, in the 1990s, valuations generally didn't soar until after companies went public. This made it a public bubble, a bubble of the masses, giddy housewives, middle-class optimists. He says, in contrast, this bubble is a private affair, open only to financial elites and the uber-rich. The bubble, the last bubble, he writes, played out on Main Street. This bubble is being played out in the casino of the financial gods. What do you say, Doug?
Well, I don't know if it's a bubble. I mean, Paul's a good friend of mine. I just think that there's a lot of language being put around here, which is very interesting.
Are you a kind of chamber of commerce for Silicon Valley? Is that your role?
No, of course not. I'm an economist. I look at facts. And what you're doing here is you're throwing out all kinds of words, like bubble. And
that's Paul Sappho's word. He's watched your neck of the woods for a long time.
I know Paul very well.
Well, you keep saying throwing out words, but, you know, please. I mean, this is...
What is a bubble?
What is a bubble? I think we know what a bubble is. We've been through a couple.
I don't know what you mean by a bubble. The reality is that we're seeing growth. We see new companies that are generating products that are being bought on the market, and they're selling. And what's different is last time, my mistake was that NASDAQ and other groups let them go public, IPO, without any profits, which is one of the reasons why we had a problem. That's not happening now. We're not having IPOs. We're not having that happen. So I don't think you're seeing the same situation that you saw before. If companies are going to make money, they have to sell a product, make a profit. And so that's what's happening. There's no bubble. There's no frivolousness here. Companies are going to succeed if they sell in the marketplace.
Doug, you may be right. Sophia, let me ask you if I may. I mean, looking here again at Paul Saffel writing today in the New York Times, he says the little guy doesn't get a chance to be as foolish as the financial wizards this time around, but we had all better hope that the current crop of frothy companies actually grow into their valuations and this bubble gently disappears. He says, should this bubble burst, the financial elites will most certainly find a way to shift the consequences of their folly onto the rest of us. Look, Sophie, it's not that we're hoping it's a bubble. On the contrary, we're trying to sense whether there's something being generated this time that could become a real driver across the country and just what the scale of that could be if it's as solid as Doug says, and we all hope it is. What do you think about its the scalability of what's going on here, Sophia?
Well, I totally agree with Doug. I think it's precipitous to call this a bubble. I mean, if you look at the numbers, as Doug has already said, we're seeing modest growth in Silicon Valley. Yes, there are some new companies that are growing quickly. Some of these will eventually go public. But I think that there is some unnecessary hyperbole about what is going on in Silicon Valley. And certainly companies do want to hire the best talent, and they're willing to pay for it, and they want to grow quickly. But it isn't a widespread phenomena, and it isn't something that's spilling over to other parts of the country, although I have to say there are other tech centers around the country that are also doing better, but they're doing better in a more measured way. I wouldn't call this a frenzied environment.
The Marc Andreessen, famously of Netscape, venture capitalist now, quoting here, quoting him from the LA Times, saying the supercharged recruiting market is the single hardest challenge in Silicon Valley. Mark Lischer, I'm trying to figure out why that is. You would think that there would be a lot of spare talent around the country and even in California right now after the high unemployment we've seen in recent years.
There's a lot of spare talent, but Doug mentioned or Sophia, maybe people who've been out of the market for a while, like your caller who's now a medical doctor, or they've times changed very quickly, and it's harder to bring in the foreign computer experts. There's been a crackdown on the visas for the high-tech people from India and places like that. So the talent pool might be a little tighter, and so it's the market.
Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the big hiring push right now in Silicon Valley and what it says and doesn't say, perhaps, for the rest of the country. Reading here from the LA Times, where Mark Lifshire joins us about Google giving all of its employees a 10% raise to hang on to them. California's overall unemployment rate, 12.4%. Tech job listings up 62% year over year in Silicon Valley, 11 straight months of growth there. The report reflects the strength of Silicon Valley's major tech companies, chiefly Google, Apple, Facebook right now, and stories, you know, that sound like from an earlier time. In one case, Google countering an offer from Facebook to a software developer with a promise of a 15% bump to his $150,000 salary, a quadrupling of stock benefits, and a $500,000 cash bonus to stay for 1 year. He still took off for Facebook. The competition is on. Chris is calling from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Chris, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. What do you know?
Well, I've just finished a PhD in computer science at Tufts University, and I've just been hired for a job out in Silicon Valley. I just went
through
the whole gamut of, thank you very much. I just went through the whole gamut of hiring and interviews and have finally chosen to go to Microsoft, actually, and not one of the new startups.
Will it be Microsoft in California or up in Washington?
Actually, it's going to be in Washington.
Okay.
Not go to California, though I have many friends from my class who have accepted the jobs at Google or at small startups down in Palo Alto.
What did you find in the demand for your services as a computer science PhD right now, Chris?
Well, I found there really is no recession as far as my skills are concerned, and yet at the same time, I feel that most people have a very romanticized view of the lifestyle of a software engineer in Silicon Valley or the West Coast in general. I mean, I feel like I've ended up with very specialized skills through my own efforts, maybe through luck.
Sure.
I'm not sure why,
mm-hmm.
And I'm in a position to take advantage of those, but I mean, it's not so different from, say, someone who graduates from a top school with economic skills and goes to Wall Street. It's one of the nodes of high growth in the economy right now, and some people will be in a position to exploit it.
Let me ask you about the half-life of those skills. Sophia Kopetsky was saying, you know, if you've been out of the market for a couple of years, 3-4 years maybe even, you may not be at the cutting edge. Can you see that? Do you feel that, Chris, in your own experience?
Oh, definitely. As a new graduate, I'm sure I was in a position to just get the latest skills, the absolute cutting edge. My resume was full of buzzwords, just that people wanted to hear. And I worry, though, that if I don't keep up on the latest technologies and the latest trends and the latest languages, that my skills may be effaced somehow.
Well, you're just getting started. You sound like you're in a pretty good place. How many job offers did you end up with, Chris?
Actually, four.
Four?
Massachusetts, one in California, one in Seattle.
Okay, that's promising. We like it. Not everybody's got a PhD in computer science, but good on you for having it. I appreciate your call. Mark, what about this issue of, you know, relevance and currency in skills? I mean, can you have been on top of it 2 years ago and be out of it now when it comes to software engineering, computer science, Mark?
Well, look at the products that you buy and that you have to deal with just as a consumer, how much they've changed in the last 2 years. We've got iPads and all kinds of pads and all kinds of new internet products and ways to do things. So obviously, if it baffles consumers and takes some skills for them just to know how to use the things that they buy, it takes a hell of a lot more for the people who are making them.
Let me get a call from Wakefield, Massachusetts. Michelle. Hi, Michelle. Thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I'm a technical manager at a high-tech company here in the Boston area.
Okay.
And I feel like you guys have been describing my life for the past, like, decade or so here. We have been trying to hire people at my company for the past, I don't know, year and a half. We have something like 40 jobs open right now.
Wow.
And we have a hard time finding people. And to a point earlier where we're talking about college grads versus people out of work, we kind of have a mixed bag with hiring new college grads. I find a lot of the new college grads, while they have the latest language set, the employees that have been out of work for a while tend to know not only the pitfalls of the industry, but just the general problem-solving skills of, like, I've seen this problem before, I understand
mm-hmm.
what's going on. It's an interesting mix trying to hire those people. But on the flip side, myself, I get at least one recruiter, if not two or three, a week that try to poach me for other jobs. And some of them are the same recruiters for different jobs week after week.
Right.
We try to tell them, look, I'm not interested, but they don't care.
Is it just a money offer? When they come after you, Michelle, it sounds like you're in demand. Is it just a higher salary, or what kind of, you know, what armaments do they bring to try and poach you away?
So sometimes it's higher salaries. My current company has a lot of the benefits that you guys are talking about, where we have a free lunch on Fridays and, you know, flexible schedules, and they could give us all the soda we could drink, unfortunately.
right.
But, you know, other companies will offer a lot of the same sorts of things. So, you know, for me, I don't want to leave a job I'm happy at unless there's, you know, some obvious benefit, either working on cooler problems or, you know, it's just, you know, the dream job, so to speak.
It sounds like you're in the catbird seat. Michelle, talk to us, talk technical to us for a moment here. You said you're looking for the latest language set. Give us a little technical talk here. What are you looking for? What computer software languages?
Well, so the popular ones at my company right now, Python is definitely the biggest one. Everybody loves Python for its flexibility, and it's a high-level language, so it's a lot easier to learn. There's a lot more regular English terms in it instead of, you know, the more formal languages that some others have. But
what kind of products would that end up helping create, something like Python, that we might know as consumers?
I guarantee you, you've actually used our product numerous times because we sell our services to other companies, and we're kind of the back end for it. But so it could be anything from, searching things out to we have products dealing with, like the airline industry, so it's how to parse data quickly and efficiently. We do a lot of data repackaging for people because we can deal with large quantities of very complicated data and turn it into subsets that they're able to do, easy and quick work with.
And Michelle, I'll let you go, but we've got nearly 9% unemployment in this country, California, 12%+, and yet you've got 40 jobs open, and you say it's really hard to find the hires for those. Make sense of that for us. How can that be with so many people out of work and no small number of people in this country with, with computer software educations and the rest? Why so hard to fill 40 positions?
Well, so part of what you guys have been hitting on over and over is that the highly specialized or highly skilled. I have been, a nerd since I was 13, so to me it's not highly specialized, but, I remember back into the high school when I was the only one playing with some of this stuff. So, I think some of it is just a matter of interest. It's a certain way of thinking about problems and a certain way of dealing with things that doesn't necessarily come natural to people. Or it's just a matter of, people not wanting to sit in front of a computer. I mean, I have tons of friends that are out of work, and they're exactly what you guys have been describing. They're either construction jobs or, they were people becoming teachers or lots of other, things that are definitely needed. But, I try to talk to them about, hey, come work for my company. We've got great benefits, great things. You just need to learn some stuff. And, I'll send them some information. And there's just not a lot of follow-through to completely change industries like that.
Yeah. Michelle, I appreciate your call so much. That's really incredibly informative. Sophia, it's interesting to hear that. I mean, it sounds like it can be so challenging to stay up to speed, even for people in the field. Blink for 5 minutes and you're off that front edge where she's desperate to hire.
Can I just add something?
Mm-hmm.
That what I've also been seeing is that the number of job openings has been climbing much more quickly than the number of people actually getting hired. And it's possible that employers, they have this idea that there's this huge pool of people out there who need jobs, and employers may be very picky about who they want. They say, they want someone with exactly knowledge and so many years of experience using maybe a particular language if we're talking about computer sciences. So that's another factor that I'm observing in the labor market.
Could it mean that we hear this sometimes, we don't have the labor pool in this country that we need as fuel for the next big round of economic growth, or not?
Well, this is
that you, Doug Hyde, Doug Kenton, please.
Yeah, I think it's important when we think about unemployment, just in terms of a sort of a strict economic standpoint. I think there's two types of unemployment. Sophia mentioned this. There's cyclical unemployment. We go through ups and downs in the economy, and we went through a pretty severe recession over the last few years, one of the worst we've had since the 30s. That reduces demand overall in the economy, and that's why we have this large unemployment across the board in all these different areas. It's starting to come back, but in construction, I mentioned earlier. There's another type of unemployment, which I think is what we're focusing on here. Sometimes economists call this structural unemployment. What's happening, I think, here is there's a mismatch. There is a growth in demand for specialized skills, and we've heard this from the last two callers. They have very specialized skills, but we don't always have enough people in the labor market that have those skills. And so because there's a mismatch, you can actually have an odd situation where you have essentially a type of unemployment where people are not fitting in to the demand for these special skills. Now, you can only solve that in two ways. You hopefully could upgrade the workforce. You could train people. You could prepare people for these jobs. But the short-term response to that is that the employers have to raise wages and they have to do more to attract these people to have them come to their businesses.
Sure, therefore, the competition we're talking about.
But my question, competition, because there is a structural issue here.
Here's my question for you, Doug, on that front. If we, and I know this is not short term, but if we could upgrade the workforce to answer that demand for skills, how scalable do you see what's going on in your neck of the woods now? Or is this always going to be in a few pods around the country?
Well, this is the second thing I wanted to say. The solution to structural unemployment doesn't mean that you do it all in one place. I mean, we need to have people who are flexible in the ability to move from location to location. And some of the one of your callers said that. They're happening to go into school in Massachusetts, but he's moving to Seattle.
Yep.
We have hot spots in say, Austin, Texas. You have hot spots in the Research Triangle. You have different types of places where people need to move. It's not clear that all technology has to be in one place in Silicon Valley. If we have a shortage of labor in certain areas, maybe these companies will, in fact, grow in other locations, and that will benefit the whole country. So, you know, you can solve this problem in two ways. You can prepare more workers. We need to do that. We are not training enough engineers in this country. You just look at the facts. We're importing engineers from other places.
I want to hear from our listeners, if I may, Doug. We know that story. Bill in Buffalo, New York. Bill, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for the call.
Yeah.
I just wanted to put, I guess, my proverbial two cents in here. I own a recruiting firm, and most of my clients are out of Boston. So I definitely see the East Coast, West Coast here, but we primarily recruit technology salespeople for emerging companies.
Okay.
And the piece that I've seen in this time, I recruited luckily during the dot-com era, which taught me the basics here. But the fundamentals of what companies are looking for are extremely tight. And so if someone's been out of work, a lot of people are looking at that saying, well, why is this person out of work? And they also are very, very picky about the career career track they've been on. So I guess the one thing I'd say from an employer status is they still have this very, very high bar of requirements, and the market hasn't quite pinched them to say they can start opening up the requirement. But I have seen that shift over the last, really, this quarter specifically, that there is a shift there. So if there's anything I can add to that on, I'd be happy to contribute. But I just see that the employers right now are really, truly looking for the best of the best, and the demand is so high, there's only so many of them, that it's going to have to start cracking into these other markets.
Bill, that really helps us. Bill, in Buffalo, there's a high demand, but a high bar there at the same time. That is interesting from a recruiter. Let's go to Fairfield, Iowa. And Paul, hi, Paul, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. What's your story?
Story is, creativity is not restricted to California. Some ways Silicon Valley may be old school. You know, the internet is non-localized.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're starting an incubator right here in our town. This summer doing a boot camp.
Good.
So start businesses, do app development. So the idea of a spillover is just telling us we're on the right path. You know, the development can happen anywhere. Creativity is everywhere. You don't have to be in a large city, expensive city. You can be in a community of choice. Where you say, I want to live here, but I'm going to develop here. That's my point.
And you're launching an incubator to do it. Catch the Fire right there in Iowa. Paul, thanks for that. One more, Charlotte, North Carolina. Eric, you're on the air. Eric.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
And I really appreciate Doug's comments about the language that's been used. One of the things, I've been in IT for 15 years, back in 95 is when I started.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I've noticed, and I think any economist will take notice to this, and instead of me calling it a bust or a lull, it's more the ups and downs. And if you look at it, it's really based on the technology that's emerging. So today we have social network technology, which that doesn't focus on hardware. That focuses on software. It focuses on the specialized skill of application development.
Right.
No matter what language we're working in. Whereas let's take it back to 1997, 98. Microsoft brings out a new operating system. Hardware is being upgraded. The software is being upgraded. So when I was, looking for a job back then as a consultant, the big push was for Windows 2000 compatibility because we had that time issue. So people were getting hired. You know, techs were a dime a dozen because they needed people to go out, load hardware, build networks, do testing, things like this.
Do you see more specialized demand now, Eric?
Oh, absolutely. Because if you think about it, versus in the early 2000s, we had a lot of hardware upgrades, and the coding and the software wasn't that difficult, whereas now you have these major software implementations that require application development. So instead of just being a hardware person who can troubleshoot a desktop or a user issue, now you need someone who can get and break down pieces of codes of language, and then we have the, you know, the new hiring. But it's really not, I agree with Doug, it's not a big boom because it's a lot smaller than what it was back when I was in Colorado and looking for tech jobs.
I guess whatever you want to call it, it's that demand right there at that specialized edge that people are most focused on. And clearly, from the reporting we've got here from Mark and many others, right there, people really want those hires and really want them right now. And that is a challenge. Sophia, look out a few years here. What do you think? Does this begin to, or does it roll into a bigger recovery in this country? Or is this something that stays in those pockets?
Well, as was mentioned before, there are other tech pockets in the country, but we're not going to have every city becoming a tech pocket. Growth is just going to become more broad-based, and it will be woven together more.
Well, we're ready for that. Let that demand accumulate and roll right across the country just as quick as it can. Sophia Korpetsky with Moody's Analytics, Doug Henton with Collaborative Economics, and Mark Lifshire with the Los Angeles Times. Thanks to each of you for being with us this hour. Listeners, thanks for joining us. Good luck with your job hunt. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.